let's go down the highway to our good friend Dave Rowe from News Talk 770 in Calgary. Dave, how are you doing this Friday afternoon, my friend?
Oh, real, real good. The sky is blue. The temperature is somewhere around the freezing mark. Life's pretty good right about now.
Yes, it was a little chilly up here the last couple weeks. It's starting to warm up a little bit. You know it's going to be hot tomorrow night, Dave, is the Battle of Alberta. It actually means something tomorrow night for the first time in quite some time.
I mean, how cool is that? I mean, you know, how long has it been since, you know, we've talked about these two teams being a bit of a measuring stick, but, you know, now this matters. You know, you guys have got third place. The Flames have got a wild card spot. It's pretty close. There's something on the line here. I love it. Can't wait. For the first time in a long time, I can't wait to watch this game.
These teams haven't met since games one and two way back in the regular season. Dave, in your opinion, what's changed for the Flames from games one and two to now?
Let me see. Everything. the Flames out of the gate were not a good hockey team. I mean, they were really struggling to establish themselves under a new coach who was really reinventing every system from the ground up. You had a new goaltender. You had a couple of guys. You're the two faces of your franchise had just signed new big money long-term contracts, and both of those guys were coming off, well, in Sean Monahan's case, an injury, and Johnny Gaudreau's missing most of training camp because of the World Cup, and then sitting out and waiting for a new contract. You had a new goaltender in Brian Elliott, who tried and failed to establish himself. Now you got a team with you know, a couple of superstars that are starting to click. You've got some role players, guys like Michael Backlund, who are having incredible seasons, and you have Chad Johnson, who's emerged out of nowhere to become the goalie. I mean, you say Brian Elliott got the news conference when he signed. Chad Johnson got an email announcing that he'd signed with the team. There's the difference right there.
Who would you say has been the MVP for just over the first half of the Flames season so
Chad
far?
Chad Johnson. Without a doubt, it's been Johnson. Brian Elliott was supposed to be the guy who was coming in as the veteran, you know, who was, you know, going to be, you know, the leader back there. He was going to establish himself as the goaltender after, you know, the disaster last year with Kerry Rahmo and Jonas Hiller. And when he didn't produce, when he wasn't coming up with big saves right up the hop, there were a lot of questions. I mean, early on in the year, there was even, you know, is Glenn Gullitson the right guy? You know, do we need to fire the coach? There was even that talk starting to make the rounds. And all of a sudden, you know, because you really got no other choice, Chad Johnson comes in, provides stability, starts picking up wins, and is giving this team the kind of goaltending they needed to turn their confidence around to the point where the power play started to click, where the penalty kill started to perform at a high level, where offensive guys are maybe willing to take a little bit of risk because, you know, they're not freaking out about what's going to happen if the puck gets behind them.
Do you give a lot of the credit to the turnaround to Glenn Gullitson, or is it mostly just the players? You mentioned the power play started going. Does it all start with simply the way Chad Johnson's been playing between the pipes?
It starts with the way Chad Johnson's been playing between the pipes. It continues with Mark Giordano, you know, coming back a little bit after a slow start, you know, with Monahan and Gaudreau finding their way, with, you know, with Backlund putting up the kind of numbers he has, with, you know, with Matthew Tkachuk establishing himself as a bona fide NHLer in his rookie season. You know, Dave Cameron, the assistant coach, is the guy who draws the X's and O's on special teams. I mean, he's done a great job with an area of the Flames game that was horrible. But, you know, the guy overseeing all of this is Glenn Gullitson. So, you know, you got to give him some credit. But, you know, I think most of the credit goes back to the players themselves.
How surprised have you been, or I guess how important has Chris Versteeg been to the Flames this season? I know he's not the player he used to be and he's getting up there in age, but it seems to me like he's been a very important part on that right side for the Flames.
Yeah, Chris Versteeg has come as advertised. You know, they needed some veteran leadership up front on this team. I mean, you know, out back you got Mark Giordano, you know, who's the, you know, the established leader of this team, period. But, you know, up front you get, you know, Monahan and Gaudreau, who are the faces of the franchise, and you looked around them and, you know, you didn't see that sort of that go-to guy. I mean, you know, Michael Frolik is a veteran player, but I don't think you count on him as a veteran presence. So you get Troy Brouwer, who's been exactly as advertised, And Chris Versteeg has been a nice little addition. There were some questions at first, but I think that was more a matter of timing than anything else. I mean, just the fact that the guy came in essentially with no training camp with this team and was trying to establish himself. And at under $1 million, the guy, you want to talk about a guy who ticks a whole lot of boxes if you're a coach and a general manager? Yeah, that's the guy.
We're joined by Dave Rowe from News Talk 770 in Calgary, taking a look at the Battle of Alberta tomorrow night between the Oilers and the Flames. It's their first matchup since the first two games of the regular season. Dave, I want to get your thoughts on Sean Monahan. Up here in Edmonton, some Oilers fans are upset about the production of Jordan Eberle and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. And I imagine looking at what Monahan's done, at least looking at his stats this year, it's kind of similar. He hasn't scored since December 16th. Is there a lot of pressure from the fan base on Sean Monahan right now?
Actually, no. And, you know, I say winning cures a whole lot of ills. And, you know, the fact that other guys are scoring has, you know, I'm not going to say a free pass for Sean Monahan because, you know, this is the future. You know, he wears a letter now, and he is going to be the leader of your team in years to come. And, you know, there's a little bit of surprise at Monahan's lack of production. I think maybe his back injury off the start of the year was a little more serious than people thought. And, you know, the fact that it cost him a training camp, you know, you can't overestimate the impact that losing a training camp has on a player, especially a young player, and the amount of time it takes him to play his way back into form. But because of the way the Flames have been playing a team game, the fact that they're getting production from three lines. I mean, you know, the way they've got it set up, you know, for tonight against the Devils and probably tomorrow night, Monahan and Gaudreau aren't playing together. And, you know, that was last year, that was pretty much where all of your offense was coming from. So the fact that you're getting three-line contribution really eases the pressure on Sean Monahan, and I think that's a good thing.
Dave, how do you think Glenn Gullitson and his staff have handled Sam Bennett so far this season?
It's hard to say because, I mean, Sam is another guy who has really been flying under the radar. You know, another high draft pick, you know, who came in highly touted at a young age. I think Sam is a guy who is still, I wouldn't say he's struggling, but I think he's still trying to find his place on this team. You know, like some days he's a center, you know, some days he's a winger. Some days they look on him to score goals. Other times, you know, they're looking on him to work on his defensive game. You got to remember how young this guy still is. You know, the fact that he lost a lot of time early in his career to the shoulder injury. I don't think you start looking at Sam Bennett with a disapproving eye just yet.
Troy Brouwer returns to the lineup for the Calgary Flames tonight. He hasn't played since, I believe, before Christmas against the Vancouver Canucks.
Seven games and two periods of another game is how he describes it.
So what is he going to bring back into the Flames lineup tonight?
Again, just that, you know, that veteran savvy, the physical presence. He'll be on a line in all likelihood. He and Versteeg will be flanking Sean Monahan. So the fact that you've got those guys, they love Troy Brouwer and Chris Versteeg. Those two guys were just such an easy fit in the Flames dressing room. Just what they bring, just you know, that veteran savvy, that sense of calm. I think that helps a guy like Sean Monahan, who, given the contract and given his stature, has to be putting a little bit of pressure on himself, even if no one else is.
The New Jersey Devils are in Calgary tonight after playing in Edmonton last night. Do you expect Mark Giordano to get the assignment of following Taylor Hall around the ice?
They tend not to do that. They tend not to spy any particular guy. If you look at the minutes on the Flames blue line, I mean, you know, obviously Giordano is the leader, but no one on that defensive corps is putting in insane minutes. Giordano is the leader. He's up around 25 minutes a game, which is, I think, quite a manageable number for a number one defenseman. You know, he's not, you know, one of these guys who's above 30 on most nights. And even though the defensive depth has been a bit of a question mark for the Flames, that number three pairing has been a bit of a problem. Jyrki Jokapäkä is a guy who I think has been a bit of a disappointment. Dennis Wiedemann on the second pairing, even though he hasn't been as much of a liability as he's been in the past, is still Dennis Wiedemann. But yet Gullitson still splits the minutes with his top four guys fairly evenly. When you look at Dougie Hamilton, TJ Brody, a guy who's had his struggles as well, if you look at his plus-minus number, you know, Wiedemann, Giordano, none of these guys are playing exceptionally heavy minutes.
Is Mark Giordano starting to show – is he starting to slow down, I guess?
I would, you know, I think that would be fair. I don't think, you know, Gio has got, I mean, not that Gio was ever a speed burner.
But is he just starting to show the effects? He's 33 years old. Is he just starting to slow down?
He is, yeah. I think he's slowing down a little bit. But I also think that Mark Giordano is a smart enough player that he is he's going to be able to adapt. I mean, it's like a guy with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball that can't throw 100 miles an hour anymore. He has to learn to be a pitcher instead of a thrower. And I think Giordano is a guy who is going to adapt, through body position, through smarts, to be a solid contributor through this long and very expensive contract that he's got with the team.
The Oilers take on the Flames tomorrow night, and then these two teams meet again, this time in Calgary next week. Last two times they meet for the rest of the season, this could have major playoff implications. A Battle of Alberta on Hockey Night in Canada, January 14th, Dave. This is pretty exciting stuff, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It'd be even better if it was in late March or early April when something was on the line.
Yeah, well, who knows? There's still a lot of hockey to be played. Dave, I appreciate your time. Thanks for this. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and enjoy the Oilers and Flames tomorrow night.
Anytime, you guys. You too. Take care.
Dave Rowe from News Talk 770